Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, some of us are studying Dogen on the side, and we're studying a fascicle called Kuge, which means flowers of emptiness. So Dogen Zenji, or Eihei Dogen, was the founder of Soto Zen in Japan in the 13th century. And he wrote something called the Shobogenzo, the True Dharma Eye, which is a compilation of several essays, you could say, that he wrote. There are about 100 of them, close to 100. So this is one of those. And what I want to talk about are the three main themes of this chapter and kind of tie them all together. So here we go. Hopefully it won't be too much of a toad's wild ride through the Dharma here. Okay, so the first theme is from Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma was the person who brought Zen Buddhism from India to China. And he supposedly came via the ocean, and it was a tough ride. And he arrived on the shores of China, and he said, "A single flower opens 5 petals, the fruit forms and ripens naturally of itself." So that's the first theme of Dogen's Kuge. The whole passage here is, he said, "I originally came to this land to transmit the Dharma and save deluded beings. I originally came to this land to transmit the Dharma and save deluded beings. A single flower opens 5 petals, the fruit forms and ripens naturally of itself." Dogen said about this, he said, "We should study this occasion as well as the form of the 5 petals opening in a single flower. We should study this occasion." Like Bodhidharma, each one of us comes to this world not knowing, but we encounter the Dharma. We see the Dharma. Hopefully we run into the Dharma in this mind of not knowing. We engage with the Dharma, the teachings, and our Buddha mind opens. So this one flower, this Buddha Dharma, this being called Bodhidharma, this being called you and me, this being of the whole world being, is this flower opening. And from that opening, there are the 5 petals. And the 5 petals are the whole world of forms and all of its diversity in this one moment right now that we are experiencing. In the Eihei Koroku, which is another text that Dogen wrote, he was giving a eulogy of a monk, and he said, "One flower opens with 5 petals, just dying, just being alive. The fruits naturally ripen, becoming Buddhas, becoming ancestors. Do you clearly understand? Rolling up one piece of skin of this difficult world of endurance, 10,000 years or one moment are just ashes. Within this world, Buddhas and ancestors appear one after another." So he says, one flower opens with 5 petals. This person that he's eulogizing, this one flower opening with 5 petals, just living, just dying, just being alive. This is our life. Rolling up one piece of skin, this person, this one piece of skin. Often Zen monks are called skin bags. Not a very pretty description. So we are all these kind of skin bags making our best effort. So this one piece of skin in this difficult world of endurance, this Saha world that we live in, this world, the Buddhas, Shakyamuni Buddhas, Buddha field, the Saha world. He says 10,000 years or one moment are just ashes. Just one moment just goes by, impermanence. And yet, in another fascicle, Dogen says impermanence is Buddha nature. So we say ashes, but still it is just this. It is our life just as it is. Within this world, Buddhas and ancestors appear one after another. So each of us comes into this world. We move in this world. We keep going on in this world of impermanence, the world of coming and going, and the world of Buddha nature. So this vow of Bodhidharma's, this Bodhisattva vow, his bodhisattva vow, he says, I came to this land to transmit the Dharma and save deluded beings. So we look and we say, what is our vow? What is our deepest desire? The bodhisattva path is not just about saving ourselves. So that's kind of evangelical, so don't think of it as a Christian way. Saving in the sense of that we wake up. You know, we wake up. So we all want to wake up. We want to wake up from our suffering. And we also, as we mature, want to wake up and help others wake up, right? Isn't that the kind of parental mind in the best way? As we get older, we kind of want to pass on our wisdom, not in a way that's officious or overbearing or any of those kinds of things, but in this very gentle way of just expressing our lives, just showing and being who we are, in our innate wisdom, if you will, of getting older and learning things and coming forward. So this vow of Bodhidharma is a declaration of his intention. It's a declaration of our intention to make our best effort to become Buddhas and ancestors, ripening naturally. In another fast school called Gyoji, or Continuous Practice, Dogen said, writing about Bodhidharma's vow, that this transmission of the Dharma of reality is Bodhidharma himself. So Bodhidharma coming forward, making this vow, going to China, starting 5 Zen schools, right? Starting the whole ball rolling, if you will, in China. But somehow it's beyond that. It's not just history. What Bodhidharma knows or what Bodhidharma transmits is the same thing that we're learning about ourselves. So this is reality itself. This is Bodhidharma himself. This is the entire universe, so Dogen tells us. The entire universe is the real state of truth. And this real state of truth is Bodhidharma, and this real state of truth is you, each one of us, as we go through our lives. So we're not different than this. We are, again, the real state of truth, which would be manifest only if we make our best effort. Make our best effort. From a Buddhist perspective, we say we make our best effort to follow this path. We make our best effort to understand these teachings. We make our best effort in a way that is a kind of sane, steady equanimity of saving self and others, this bodhisattva vow. So we do this because we want to be in accordance with all beings. We want to be as all beings. And then when this happens, it ripens of itself. So this part of the verse that says, a single flower opens 5 petals, the fruit forms and ripens naturally of itself. This ripening naturally of itself is just reality, is just your life as it is, birth and death. So it will ripen of itself. And this simple enactment of the ripening is the whole world working through us and as us as we come forward with our understanding, the best that we can do each day and each moment. So this is the simple enactment of the whole workings as and through us. So we have to dedicate ourselves to finding out what the Dharma is, where the Dharma is, how the Dharma is. What is this reality? What is this thing that we call our life? So this inquiry, this is the inquiry about the real state of truth. So that's the first theme in this fascicle. The second one is, Dogen quotes Zen master Tong On Chung Cha, who said, the Utpala flower blooms within flame. The Utpala flower blooms within flame. So this is the second theme. The blue lotus is the Utpala flower, and it blooms, can only bloom within the flames of our difficult world. It cannot bloom anywhere else. So this bodhisattva vow only comes, Bodhidharma's bodhisattva vow can only come into fruition, come forward and be manifest by blooming in the fire of this Saha world. Dogen said, "We should not cling to the views of humans or the views of devas and fail to learn about within fire. We should not cling to the view of humans." So mostly the view of human is, get me out of here. So as human beings, we're like, I'm sorry, I don't want this. I don't want to sit in the middle of fire. Thank you very much. I think I'm going to go to Club Med. And the view of the devas is that they live up in the heavenly realm, so there's not a problem. They don't deal with this at all. Ultimately, from our perspective, it is a problem because they use up all their merit and then, you know, right back down into the Saha world. So no matter how you get around it, it's like we have to pay attention to this. So he says, we should not cling to the views of humans or the views of devas and fail to learn about what it means to say within fire. So this learning about within fire, this is our practice. This fire is the fire that tempers our life, and it's the source of wisdom. It's the fire that opens the five petals of Bodhidharma's vow. The five petals, which are the harbinger of ripening itself. So when fruit comes to fruition, when you see a fruit tree, first there's the bud, and then there's the flower, and then comes the fruit. So this one flower, five petals, bringing forth the fruit of our practice. This ripening of itself does not mean that we don't have to make effort. It means that as we make our effort, paying attention to what's in front of us, then the flower will ripen of itself. And this paying attention is often paying attention in the midst of the fire of the Utpala flower, this blue lotus opening. We don't have to worry about enlightenment. Often we worry about becoming enlightened. We strive to become enlightened. But enlightenment is just being in your life just as it is right now. It's this way in which we accord ourselves with the totality of what's coming forward in our life in this moment. So it means that if we're driving our car, we are in this way being present for what's happening. Not just our own desires, like I wish that person would get out of my way, or I wish they'd drive faster, or I wish the light would turn green, but this way in which we accept and have equanimity and generosity with the totality of what's happening around us. This is our practice. Our practice is not to become enlightened. Our practice is to pay attention to our life just as it is right now. So we don't need to get rid of this fire. In fact, we absolutely cannot escape sitting in the middle of our life. There's nowhere else to go. We can only sit right here in the middle of this life. This is rolling up one piece of skin of this difficult world of endurance. This is this presencing ourselves, the staying. And from this, the one flower opens with five petals, just dying, just living. This is what Dogen said at the monk's funeral, just dying, just living. One flower opens with five petals, just dying, just living. This is where we learn about the nature of fire. This is where, if you will, our wisdom sword is tempered in the flames. So you might not like this. You might want to escape this. But if you want to bloom, if we want to be the blue lotus, then we have to sit in the fire. Bummer. But we have to sit in the fire. There's this way in which we have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to sit in the middle of our life and practice right there. And sometimes it's comfortable and sometimes it's not very comfortable. But that's our life. That's life and death. That's the life of being in the Buddha Saha world. This is our Buddha field. This is what we got. So I don't want to depress any of you, but you know, this
impossible.
Impossible. the times we live in right now, the difficulties that we have in our own personal life and the difficulties that we have in larger cultural sense, this is the Saha world. This is our opportunity to learn equanimity. This is our opportunity to learn generosity. This is our opportunity to become patient. This is our opportunity for every of those good things, those good qualities that we strive for. They are in opposition to the things that we would like to not be engaged in: impatience, anger, lack of generosity, greed, hate, delusion, all of those things, right? If those things did not exist, we wouldn't have that opposite desire to become more skillful, more efficacious in our effort. And so there it is. That's our Saha world, right there. So that's life and death. That's our life and death. That's birth and death. That's just being with our life completely. Nothing is left out. Dogen sings, nothing's left out. So even though we don't want to sit in the middle of the fire, we don't want to be in delusion, we don't want to have to struggle, and of course we're not struggling all the time. You know, you can still go to the movies. You can still go have a nice meal with your friends. Please do, actually. You know, please go to the movies. Please have a nice meal with your friends. Please have a good laugh. You know, please exhibit your frustration occasionally. Please do all that, those things. This is our life. This is in the middle of our life. So nothing's left out. And again, this is where our wisdom arises, and this is where our wisdom is born, and sometimes of necessity, you know. So this bodhisattva vow is seeing the Dharma, meeting our lives, connecting and responding with wisdom born from sitting in the fire in the middle of your life. Dogen said, it is not just that there are flowers and fruits in spring and autumn. Any given time invariably has flowers and fruits. It's not just that there are flowers and fruits in spring and autumn. Any given time invariably has flowers and fruits. Flowers and fruits all maintain their moments. Moments all maintain flowers and fruits. So what Dogen is saying here is that it's not at certain times that our practice is ripened. You know, it's not at certain times that we practice. We practice in every season. Flowers and fruits come forward at any time. So they have their moments, and yet those moments are all maintained by flowers and fruits. These moments are all this opportunity to make our best effort. Dogen said in Busho, he said, if the time arrives, is the time right now? If the time arrives. So how often do we say to ourselves, you know, I'm going to practice patience at the right time. Like, I'm going to apologize for this thing I did when the time is ripe. Which usually means something like, you know, I don't want to talk to that person, so I'm just not going to bother because I can put it off until some other time. Now, of course, this is tough. Sometimes there are times that we need to put it off, that we need to take some space, that we need to cultivate our equanimity. But if we've done something that we need to atone for or something that needs to be taken care of, then we have to take care of it. So the question is not, you know, if the time arrives, when I feel like it, I'll take care of it. There may be a skillful way in which you say, I need some more time to take care of this thing. But we can't use the excuse of waiting for the right time. And sometimes we do that in practice. We say, well, you know, well, if I could go to the monastery, I could practice. Or if I had a quiet room, I could practice. Or if I had a red coat, I could practice. Or only if I owned the right car. Or, oh, I know, if I had that right zabaton and maybe that blue zafu, you know. If I just have that right thing, like maybe the right bell. Maybe if I got one of those little bells, you know, that you can buy that time and then they go ding, ding. You know, they're not like buzzed egg timers. They're like a special thing. You can get these at Dharma Crafts. You know, they have these special little brass rods that have a little dinger on them, you know, and that you can set the time you're going to meditate. So if I had one of those, I'm sure that I could meditate. So there's this way in which we say, if the right time arrives. So Dogen says, no, if the right time arrives is the time right now. There is no other time in your life to practice. This moment right now is where practice happens. Right this moment. Because in your life there is no other moment than right this moment. Can you go back to the past? Can you go up to the future? I just run fast enough. You know, I'm going to get to the future. No, of course not. You can only live this moment, right this moment. So if the time arrives, is the time right now. This is the time right now that we stay. We sit in the middle of our lives. Of course, we don't have any choice. We think we do, but actually we don't. So we are sitting in the middle of the flames anyway. But this is it. This is it right now. The time has arrived. So each moment and each particular manifestation of that moment is not separate from your life. It's not separate from each other, and it's not separate from the universe. It's only this moment, bound in impermanence, ashes. Just this moment. This moment is the only moment you can practice, the only moment from which flowers and fruits come forth. So that's the second theme in this. Here's the third one. The third one is a quote from the Buddha. Shakyamuni said, "It is like the person with clouded vision who sees flowers in the sky. If the disease of cloudiness is removed, the flowers will disappear from the sky." What this quote, Dogen's understanding of this quote is this. The person with clouded vision is the bodhisattva. Sitting in the midst of this fire, bringing forth this bodhisattva vow, means that we are in delusion. We do not get rid of delusion, and yet in some way we are not of delusion. So this way is the more wisdom we have about delusion, the less caught we are by it, but that we understand it. So this is the person with clouded vision. This person with clouded vision sees flowers in the sky. And if this disease of cloudiness is removed, these flowers, this realization will disappear. So they're intimately connected with each other. They happen together. They're not two separate things. We like to think they're two separate things, but they're not. So he teaches that the person with clouded vision is a bodhisattva. Their clouded vision is actually the clear vision, one who knows clouded vision. Okay? It's the clear vision of one who knows the clouded vision. This clouded vision is delusion. It's this clear vision of those who know delusion. The only way we can understand delusion, as Dogen says in Kato, is that we don't cut it off. We have to go into it and say, what? What is this? What is this? What is? How do I practice with this? How do I live with this? How is this in my life? This is developing the clear vision of one who knows clouded vision. It is the vision of one who sat in the fire and become a blue lotus. It is the one who is the single flower opening into five petals, forming blossoms and fruits. If you take this away, you are not of this world. It's not possible. Because this is Buddha Shakyamuni Saha world. This is this world of endurance. You're not capable of following the Bodhidharma's vow if you are not in this world of cloud of visions, because from that perspective, there's no point of that bodhisattva vow. It's like it has no place outside of the context of this world that we live in, this life that we are part of. So you're not capable of following Bodhidharma's vow to come to this land to save deluded beings, to be born in this world of fire, in this difficult world of endurance. These flowers that bloom in this world, this in this fire, in the difficulties, these blossoms, fruits, this realization, this whole universe in the 10 directions, and Bodhidharma and you are not different. All those things are the same thing. So we don't make up labels about what they are. This is another part of this teaching, is that we don't make labels about what they are. So we try to fully bring ourselves into it and say, what is this? Not the story I have about this, but what is my life actually? What is this thing? What's happening here? How do I integrate? What's the wisest thing to do in this situation? That includes the totality, which means it includes you, because sometimes we hear that and we think, oh, it means I'm supposed to just give in a way that doesn't include the self. But so we don't want to be selfish. At the same time, we don't want to be Pollyanna-ish either. This way in which we really look at a situation and say, what's the most helpful thing? How can I get out of the way, but not in a way that's unskillful to the self and others as well? This is not about destroying you. This is about creating the person. In Zen we say, you know, we are all Buddha nature. We all have the nature of this interconnected, wise equanimity, being part of, not separate from, collectively with and of this earth, with all beings. And so when we respond from that place. And by the way, you do this all the time. You don't think about it. Every time that we, again, using the analogy of driving, you know, you're out driving your car, you're getting where you're going, you're not, you know, doing things that are unhelpful, you're not cutting in front of other people and honking at people or doing stuff, or even the other side, which is driving too slow because you want to make a point. So that all those kinds of things that arise, this way in which we get to our destination, we follow the rules, we're generous with each other, we use our basic sanity, that's enlightenment. It's not some kind of woo-woo place. It's not that if the time arrives, I'll glow like a, you know, Christmas tree light. So it's this way of being completely in our life. Dogen calls this kuge. Kuge is the name of the fascicle, flowers of emptiness. Ku means everything is interbeing. Everything is free and untrammeled, unobstructed, blossoming. Ku is the word for emptiness, empty of inherent existence. It's the same word that's in the Heart Sutra. Ge means that it is something. It's the flower of kuge, flowers of emptiness. So it is something, it's particular, it has appearance, it has radiance. Ku and ge together is bodhisattva's, is the bodhidharma's vow. Ku and ge together is the blue lotus in fire, and it is the flowers appearing in the sky. It is this moment of the totality of this complete interconnectedness of all beings simultaneously happening within the particularity. Often we think they're like separate things. We think, oh, I'm, you know, we say, oh, I'm trying to get to non-duality. You can try that, but it doesn't exist in that way. Non-duality only exists within the context of duality, within the context of form. So there's this way, they're kind of opposing ideas, if you will, but actually they're just one thing. And so this way that we respond is a way in which we respond only within the context of the particularity of your life. You can't respond in the context of somebody else's life. You can't respond in the context of some idealized version of some life. You can't respond in some amorphous way like I'm going to like somehow become non-dual. What is that? What does it mean to say you're non-dual? Like you don't exist anymore. So this way in which we can only respond within the context of our own life. Does that make sense? There is no out there, somewhere else. It's just right here, in your life. This is kuge. This is Flowers of Emptiness. The Ku and Gay are not separate. They're one thing. So we can't save anyone if we do not understand, have empathy with, and have worked through and stayed the course of delusion's teaching. So in Kuge, flowers, some people say, well, that's delusion, because that's the form realm. That's the realm we want to get rid of, right? But he's saying, no, they're both completely together. They're not separate from each other. Realization and form are together. Realization and delusion are together. They're not separate things. So it is our life blooming just now, right now, completely with nothing missing. So a good koan is to say to yourself, when you feel like something's missing, ask yourself, what's missing? If you believe that nothing is missing, say, start with that premise, nothing is missing. But inevitably you feel like something is missing. So what is that? I like this koan myself when I'm sitting there going, oh, you know. One time I had a headache and I'm lying in bed and I was in pain, obviously, and I'm laying there in bed thinking, I don't want this. I don't want this, right? And then I thought of this teaching of Dogen's. I thought, oh, Dogen says, well, nothing's missing right at this moment. And I'm like going, yeah, something is missing. What's missing? Well, I don't know. Not having pain is the first thing that came to mind. But then I started listening to the flowers, to the birds outside, and sort of opening up my world beyond the headache. And as soon as I included that rest of the world at the same time that I had a headache, at that point the headache became part of the nothing's missing. Hmm. Right? Because we want to make the parts we don't like different than nothing's missing. Well, I have this thing going on and nothing's missing, but actually I don't want this other part, so it is missing. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So this way in which we just have to include all of this. We have to include it all. This is where our empathy comes from. This is where our heart gets softened, right? To each other as well as to ourselves. So it is our life blooming just now, right now, completely with nothing missing. It's our fire, it's our delusion, our awakening, our blooming in the 10 directions of the Bodhisattva vow. Please do not despair. Please do not give up. Keep practicing. Keep doing the best you can. Do it for yourself and do it for all beings. Just this moment, no other moment will do. Rolled up in this skin bag, each one of us is Kuge. Rolled up, here we are. Individual, particular skin bags, listening to skin bags, skin bagging together, you know, in this skin bag world of endurance, each one of us is this blooming flower of Buddha nature, of reality itself. Each one of us is Buddhas and ancestors appearing one after another. Each one of us must keep making our effort to benefit all beings at the same time that we're caught in delusion. Our clouded eyes bringing forth blooming flowers in the sky of this messy life. Thank you very much.